Lord, be with us now as we get into your word and study and get closer to you, Lord, draw closer to you. Help us to not just know your word, but to use it, use the knowledge that it gives us for your glory, to witness for you. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All righty then. Thursday night, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Today is Thursday, February 15th. Last week, we learned that God has called us all to Him through Christ. God calls all people. Well, how can I say that? Because the Holy Spirit is active in the world and He is working on people to accept Christ as their Savior. So He's put the call out there. Those who serve Christ proclaim His gospel. That's what we're to do as His servants, proclaim His gospel. And they are those who answer His call. The call is, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And part of that rest is being able to give His word, His gospel out. And if you haven't ever done that, you'll find, and you do it, you'll find the peace and the excitement that comes along with that. The gospel of Christ is the only power to free us from the sentence of eternal death due to sin. He is the only remedy. There is nothing else that can be done. So it would seem that that would put us in a position of thinking, well, that's really important. We need to get out there. And so I'm praying that we will do that. We saw that the Apostle Paul was steadfast in his faith to Christ and to the gospel of Christ, and that Paul desires Timothy and all believers to serve Christ the same way he served Christ. Fully committed, even unto death, dying to self, accepting that Christ was Lord of his life, and living it that way. That's how he would like all believers to live, and the Lord would like that as well, I'm pretty sure. So we need to keep on yielding to the Holy Spirit for preaching the gospel of Christ. That's Paul's message. Keep trusting the Holy Spirit. Keep preaching the gospel. Preach, keep giving the message of life, because it's the only message of life. There's no evidence of anything else working, is there? No. But we have the evidence. We have the receipts of what is going to happen if we trust Christ. So please do. Even in the face of those who appear faithful and have done work for Christ, even when they fall away. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Follow the Lord. Keep being faithful to His gospel and putting it out there. Amen?
Amen.
Be faithful as saints before you have been faithful. We have the positive examples of saints that came before us. Amen? So we want to follow that, their example. So Paul's message is, be strong in grace. What is grace? I know. If you get that short answer, well, it's not getting what you deserve. It's getting what you don't deserve. You know. Well, I'm hoping that later you're going to see it's about God's Son believing His Father, that the Father would redeem creation because of what He did. I did the work. My Father will save creation. Now, I know He's not going to save this earth, but He's going to recreate it to its former glory. Amen? And those who trust Christ will be glorified also. As Christ has gone to glory, we will as well. Amen? So that's what we're looking at in chapter 2. So it starts out in verse 1 with Paul speaking directly to Timothy as this letter was written to him. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That is our rock and our foundation. The grace, the work of Christ, what He has done. Amen?
Amen.
So, in chapter 1, Paul has just informed Timothy of those disciples in Asia who've given up their faith in Christ. Too tough, too hard, I can't do it. And they fall away. So, he's encouraging Timothy that no matter, you keep your eyes on the Lord. So, he's here exhorting Timothy to stand firm in the faith. Don't give up, don't back off. Keep moving forward. Keep your plans of trusting the Lord and preaching His Word. Keep your faith in the grace of Christ and the gospel of Christ, which Timothy's known nearly all of his life, since he was a small child. Now, here's the bad news. Well, I'll save that for later. Verse 2. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Right? So Timothy had firsthand eyewitness, straight from the horse's mouth, knowledge of the truth spoken by the Holy Spirit through Paul. You know, I think we often forget that it's not these men who are speaking and writing, it's the Holy Spirit. They're just the instrument, the tool of the message. So it's coming from God. The message is coming from God. And we need to keep remembering that. The Holy Spirit truth is what Paul is commanding Timothy to pass on to others. The truth of God. That's what he wants him to pass on. How do you identify a faithful person? By their fruit. Are they going to stick to it? Are they going to be faithful? Are they going to preach the word? Are they making any headway? So by their actions and behavior over time, by observation and prayer, are selected those who are able. That's why you don't put new converts into any kind of leadership roles right away. They need training and doctrine. They need to understand the importance of the position. They need to nail down the foundation of the truth that they're going to be asked to teach. Amen?
Amen.
So you watch them, you observe, you pray for them, and then you select those who are able. All right, and then verse 3 says, you, talking right to Timothy, you, Timothy, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus. Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer, a third example, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Here's another command from Paul to Timothy. Endure hardship. Jesus said, in the world you're going to face tribulation. Endure it, because I have overcome the world. No, it doesn't say it that way. It says, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. But it's like saying the same thing. Hang on, hang in there, endure what you're going to face in the world. They're not going to like you. They hung me on a cross. So, you might face some hard times, right? The word endure carries the connotation of sharing the burden. Just as soldiers are part of a unit within an army sharing duties of their commander. Here's the orders. Well, he's not just depending on one person to get the job done. No, he has a whole unit. Here we are, Faith Community Church. We're a unit in the Lord's army, right? Reminds me of that song, right? I may never march in infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. I'm having trouble remembering it all. I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. And then you sing the whole thing again, all right? So that's what you do with kids. That's how you get them started, right? And then you keep going with them. You keep going with them. Just like Timothy, his mom and grandma started him out early and brought him up that way. If you don't start early, you're going to have a hard time making it happen. And the Lord's going to have a tough time pulling them in there and getting them to do it, right? Getting them to be faithful. And even today, oh my Lord, all the things that distract. Incredible. So, sharing the duties of their commander, a good soldier mans their post, follows and completes their orders, even if it means death. Yes, if it means death, could come to that. For the success of their highest ranking officer. We have a high ranking officer, don't we? So, Paul is comparing the call of believers to the same level of commitment. Don't get entangled in the world. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Study and work and show yourself approved as a workman. Soldiers don't join the army thinking, well, I'm going to be going home every weekend on leave, you know, and I'll be able to go. No, that they don't do that. That doesn't work, right? So you have to give it your all. So he's saying, Paul is comparing the call of believers to that same level of commitment. You, believer, give your full commitment to Christ, even to death. That's what the job demands, right? Don't be wishy-washy. Get out there and shout it out. Share it with everybody. Yep. Okay, so for this commitment to be unhindered, it must be discovered, promoted, and discouraged as early as possible in a person's life, as it was for Timothy. That's what I was going to say. The bad news is, in our country, we're not doing that anymore. You can't even talk about Jesus in the public schools. Forget about it. Now, the kids can talk about it. They can pray. But how many will? Because they haven't been trained at home to do that. I can't pray as a teacher. But if a student says, I'd like to pray. Oh, by all means. Let them pray. They're allowed to. They have that right. There you go. And they can pray to Jesus Christ. They can name His name. Right? Can't do that as a teacher. I can't lead that. But a student can lead it. How many parents are even aware of that? All they're aware of is you can't pray in school anymore. It took Christ out of school. You can't do that anymore. No, you can if you know and you teach your child to do it. Now, you got to have a pretty bold child.
Yeah.
Because unless he's got a lot of buddies that he goes to church with in the classroom, he's probably going to have some difficulty. That's why it's important to raise children up. Because Statistics prove the older you get, the less likely it is that you're going to accept Christ as your Savior. Yes?
Yet they're allowed to talk about Islam and LGBTQ.
They can talk about it as long as the student does. The teachers aren't allowed to do it. They're not allowed. But they do it to see if they can get away with it. They have no morals. They have no compunction about it. So they're going to do it. Maybe I can get away with this. You know, I'll post the LGBT whatever flag up there, and we'll even sing songs about that. They're not supposed to. It's illegal. But what are you bold enough to try? What are you bold enough to try? That's the theory they go on. So, start early in life. Well, doesn't look like we have a lot of young children under our wing. But we have grandchildren, and we can encourage our children to follow through. Follow through. So I'm encouraging you to encourage them. All right? So, if you don't do that, the potential service of the soldier of Christ may be greatly hindered or even blocked by the world's influence. We have no idea how many kids were turned away because they got a hard time at school from some school official speaking out of turn. Those Paul spoke of in chapter 1 and verse 15 are the negative examples of this principle. Well, let's go back and look. Chapter 1, verse 15. Well, I have it right here. This you know, that all of those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom were Phygellus and Hermogenes. They just turned away. Couldn't hack it. Verses 5 and 6 give two other examples of being committed to successful obedience and to tenacious duty. Well, let's look at 5 and 6. 5 and 6, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of his crops. So here we have two other disciplines that you need to be faithful to. You need to be hardworking. You need to hang in there to do it, to get the blessing. Believers must be obedient to the principles of God's Word. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the commandments of Christ and the encouragement of the other writers in the Bible, in the New Testament. Encourage us to achieve the crown that's set out for us. We don't think about that much, do we? I hardly ever think about that. I'm not working for a crown. That's not my goal. I'm working for the glory of the Lord. That's my goal. So, we must be obedient to the principles of His Word, His rules to achieve the crown. Likewise, farmers must work 24/7. They don't get a day off. Hey, Jim, can you come over next week and take care of my land and all my animals? I'd like some time off. No, Jim's got his own thing going on, right? So they have to serve in unrelenting faithfulness to the task for the sake of tasting the fruit of their labor. If they give up, they don't eat. Well, there's a novel idea. You don't work, you don't eat. Where have I heard that before? I see you're smiling, you know. In verse 7, Paul advises Timothy to consider, to deeply meditate, pray, asking the Lord to enlighten him with godly unction. That's a word you don't hear much anymore, is holy unction, which drowns one in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Just be flooded, be consumed by the Holy Spirit, and stick with Him so that you'll be able to do those things that God has called you to do. Amen. Verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now, how can Paul say according to my gospel? Because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. In another place, Paul says, imitate me. Imitate me. Almost sounds blasphemous. But then he goes on to say, as I imitate Christ. So he says, remember that Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, first of all, in verse 8, Paul reminds us that the essential point concerning Christ is His resurrection. If there's no resurrection, we're all wasting our time. We're all hoodwinked, and it's a big lie. But we know there's a resurrection. How do we know it? We have hundreds of witnesses. And not only do we have hundreds of human witnesses, we have the testimony of God the Father, God the Spirit. Doesn't get much better than that. You go to court, you get God on the stand for you. Not better than that, right? Yeah. Curtis, you had a comment?
Yeah, we also could say is our gospel too, couldn't we? I mean, it's the gospel of our salvation. Maybe that's what we meant by
it. Of course.
Paul could be preaching all this to us just as well as Timothy.
That's right. That's why it was recorded, so that everybody who comes after can be taught by the Holy Spirit through the Word. That's why they did it. So the essential point concerning Christ is His resurrection. Verse 9, contending for the preeminent work of Christ, especially His resurrection, is why Paul and all believers are scorned in the world. You go out there and you talk about God. Okay, no big deal. Nobody really cares. But the minute you say, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, you're going to start getting some static back your way. They're going to ask you to kindly move off of their section of the sidewalk. They don't want you hindering their business. You know, come up with any excuse to move you on. His resurrection, that gospel of His. Trust in me. Be born again. They don't want to hear that. They don't want it preached. However, God's word cannot be held captive. You can't chain it up. You can't put it in a room and lock it up. You can't stop it from going forth. It will not be held captive. Paul also testifies that he is working for the salvation of the Jews. That's what he's talking about when he says, for the sake of the elect. He wants the Jews to understand the salvation that's in Jesus Christ, whom they've rejected. You reject Him, you're without hope. The salvation of the Jews, the people through whom God chose to bring international, eternal salvation worldwide. That's what I'm saying. Down through the ages, Paul wants to see his people, the Jews who have rejected Christ, be saved. That's what he's really wanting. But he'll preach to anybody that'll listen. I'll go wherever you want me to go, Lord. I'll preach to whoever I can preach to. God's people, into whom we have been grafted. We don't supplant them. We don't replace them. We're grafted in. The church doesn't replace them. We've been grafted in because we received Christ as our Savior. That's when we become one of His people. You're now His. Amen. And you'll always be His. Amen. Verse 11, this is a faithful saying. For if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. The phrase, this is a faithful saying, is common to these pastoral epistles. That's where Paul uses it. This is a faithful saying is a phrase used by Paul in these letters to Timothy and Titus. It precedes a key doctrinal statement which should be remembered as a fundamental tenet of faith to guide our belief and teaching. Yes?
That particular verse right there is proof right there that you, if you've been saved and sealed, lose your salvation. Right there.
Yes, I agree 100%. To fully establish the sense of truth in verses 11 through 13, use the word because for the word if. Because it's because. It can be translated that way as well. And that is in verses 11 through 13. So listen to it this way. For because we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. Because we endure, we shall also reign with Him. Because we deny Him, He also will deny us. Because we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. So because it's a result of, right? So read it that way. It gives you a greater sense of it. Verse 12b is giving a strict point of fact because of one denying Christ. So 12b is, if we deny Him, He also will deny us. It's just a fact. If you deny Christ and His gospel, He's not going to accept you either. You've refused Him. So that's what you can expect when you stand before Him. The sentence of eternal death is applied to the denier. You don't get to have eternal life. You don't get to enjoy glory. You don't get to be with Jesus. No, you're totally out of the picture. Christ denies that person by His righteous judgment. It's not a flippant thing. I gave my life so you could have this. And you are denying that. You refuse my gift. Therefore, I can't accept you because look at all these who have accepted my gift. They're justified. You are not. Verse 13 describes humanity's lack of faith, which results in denying Christ. Right? Where do we get faith?
God.
Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit brings God's gift of faith to us, keeps working on our spirit, working on our spirit, till we finally get it and cry out to Jesus. Faith is not original in humanity. Don't ever think it is. It's not. It's supplied by God through Christ, Holy Spirit, to humanity by God. Because this saving faith came from God, He cannot deny it. He put it in you. And when you accepted it, you became His. He can't deny Himself. That's why he can't deny that that's in you. God cannot deny himself. Have you wondered why God was faithful to us when we were faithless? Where's creation? Where's creation? He's faithful to his creation. And so he supplied you with the remedy for sin that you didn't have and couldn't get, so that you could be his. We are his workmanship, his creation. Therefore, he remains faithful to his creation and offers salvation by the opportunity to trust the Father for salvation. Why? Because of the work of Jesus Christ. It's the work of Christ. That's it. We must have faith in Christ to receive the forgiveness of the Father. Jesus had faith in his Father, that his Father would forgive those who believed in him, believed on his death in their place on the cross. That's why he offers us eternal life. He can't deny himself. If you say yes to Jesus, you're in. The Holy Spirit gave us Christ's faith to save us when we had no faith.
Right.
It's a gift of God.
Right.
What a tremendously good, loving God we have.
So, amen.
Amen. Amen. God is faithful. Yes. And that's what Paul wants Timothy to keep preaching and teaching, and find men who can also do it. Amen? Any comments or questions that you'd like to make? Okay, guess you'd like to go home then. Well, let's thank the Lord for this time we've had. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us to be in your word, to see your love and your mercy on us, Lord, to know that we have security in you, in your Son Jesus Christ, and in his work. Lord, we give you praise and glory, and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.